Oh yeah. You gotta love the Trooper, man.
It's the best.
Come on.
Flight 666.
There you go.
Is the Goodfellas of rock documentaries.
By golly.
I never don't watch it when it's on. It's like you never ever don't watch Bruce Dickinson in the Eastern Airlines pilot outfit.
Flies his own plane, man, to the gigs.
Just kicking ass.
Yeah. What a band.
Andy Picaro's back, the Trooper.
Yeah, we needed him last
back
week.
Back off the IR, exactly.
Yeah, back.
We needed him.
But I don't want to miss a second of this show. There's so much to talk about. And the first thing is tap of the stick to Alexander freaking Ovechkin.
800 club.
800 club and the hat trick to do it.
Yeah. How about that?
Just, I love it. Your thoughts, Mr. Picaro?
Yeah, I mean, now he's, you know, I mean, we all said it just took one season of him being like himself and then a couple average seasons and he could do it. And now he's accomplishing that one season of him being like he's been, you know, in the decade past. So I don't think it's a surprise. It's amazing, though, that only three guys have scored 800. I mean, it's just, you know, in the history of the sport, only three people.
That's an elite group.
And it's crazy because you know Gretzky's got everything. But to get in that group now with Gordon, Wayne.
Pretty impressive.
In the end, when we do, when I do the, you know, some of the stats, you'll see, like, to be in that club is just ridiculous because of how to be in Gretzky's club with anything. Because he's not in any, no one else is in his club in anything else except that club, really. I mean, Lemieux blew it his last season when he could have been the only guy over the 2.0. Points per game forever.
That was
the only chance anyone was ever going to pass him, except now Ovi on anything in hockey was that. But now Ovi's going to pass him. But the thing I love about Ovechkin even more than is he's the old school Gordie Howe, Rocket Richard. He didn't float. He didn't have a bodyguard. He was a man the whole time.
He's always been tough.
You know, running guys and just everything. I mean, just, you know, he has never been protected. He's his own enforcer. He's played the game straight up. He won his cup. Nothing but tip of the hat to Alexander Ovechkin. Really, I mean, that's all you can say.
That's all you can say. I mean, you know, I hate to see anyone pass the great one. He's my all-time favorite. But if anyone's going to do it, this guy.
He's passing your two
of my
Gordy.
Two favorites.
I would think Gordy would be worse for
well,
you.
Well, it is kind of both. Both are. But, I mean, for him to be in that elite group is amazing.
I mean, he is literally, you know, the arch nemesis of Sid and Gino. And I have nothing but great things to say about him.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish he wouldn't have taken a cheap run at Gonchar, but everyone has their moments.
You know, it's just... I think that for him to beat the record like this now, it does open up a fun discussion in hockey of what other records that we thought would never be broken by Wayne could be broken. Because this is one of them that they said would never happen. I mean, literally until about 2 years ago, people were still stuck in that. No one will ever score that many goals.
Well, will anyone ever catch him in assists? I don't think.
That's the crazy one. That assists and points are the one and two you might put up there. But points per games and things like that, I mean, McDavid might come close. I mean, it's interesting that things that we thought, especially me as a kid, were totally never going to even be in a discussion again. And now, I mean, McDavid's scoring 180, 190 points. It's not crazy to think he might do that one year.
Yeah.
Well, I think the ones that are never, as much as Gretzky's, the goaltending stats, because it's just a different game, are never going to happen again. Some of the goaltending ones were like people are playing like, you know, 82 games a year, like this can shut out streets and all that stuff. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think the salary cap, you're never going to get that much talent on one team to get that many assists. McDavid, he has Leon, and Hyman just had a hat trick. You know, I'll give Hyman his due and, you know, and Big Daddy Kane, but he's never going to have, Messier, Glenn Anderson, and Paul Coffey on his team.
No, but he still had three True. Assists last night. I think he assisted on every Hyman goal, didn't he? He had four points.
He probably did.
Yeah.
I'm sure he did, but you know what I mean? Like, I just think it's like that level of, just the same way that Lemieux had you know, like the score lords.
But it's
know?
Just interesting like, that we've gone from, what, the highest point totals were falling under 100 for a couple of years, and now we're back looking at, you know, thinking, can, you know, someday can he do the 50 and 39, you know, or could somebody? Maybe not this generation. Could Bedard do it? The next guy? I mean, it's just interesting that the book's back open a little bit. When it was closed, for my entire childhood, we were always told, forget about even mentioning any of Gretzky's records.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Untouchable.
That's right.
Yeah. And it took Alexander, I mean, it took, that's what makes him superhuman. And that's whenever people are now, it's almost like you just have to make a Mount Rushmore like five or six. Because, you know, and I'm not trying to poke at Frege, but they've really been pushing the, well, you know, it might be time to put Sid on Mount Rushmore about his play. You know, they're pushing that.
Why not?
Someone's got to go. That's the problem with it. And then if you put him on there, it'd be damn hard to not put Ovechkin on there now too.
That's true with 800.
You know, yeah. It's
yeah. But was it easy to take, you know, Richard and LaFleur off at one point because they had to go on and come off too? So it is, you know, it is something that has to happen.
I think Wayne and Mario just it's undeniable.
It was,
you know, I mean, I think it was a little,
what about Gordy?
It was a little deniable, though, if you were to ask a Canadiens fan from the 70s of taking Guy off that list, or a Canadiens fan from the 50s and 60s taking Rocket off. I mean, I think that they would have argued till they passed out. It's kind of an age thing.
Well,
you know?
I think Gordy and Rocket and Sid and Ovi, they all have. They're all human. They're all human. They all play hockey like humans. Wayne and Mario, they have the witch gene. Like, they're witches. Like, you can't. No one did what those guys did.
You wouldn't even put Gordy up there, though?
He didn't have the witch. Sid makes amazing plays, but he doesn't have that witch. As much as I love Sid.
But Gordy also had the tough guy thing going.
Right. I'm not saying he's not one of the four best hockey players ever. I'm saying it's like when you're saying who's undeniably in the top four. I think Wayne and Mario, if Gino played like Sid and played all 82, like when he plays all the 40 he plays, then you're like Fedorov. He has that witch where it's like, oh my Lord, have mercy. Like no one can do that. That's what I mean. The other guys are all consistently incredible hockey players. You know what I mean? Like, does that make any sense?
Yeah, but I don't see taking Gordy off any list.
Well, there you go. I didn't mean to poke you. But that's what I mean. So it's like, you know, there's some people, it's never going to be not those four.
Yeah.
Well, if we already don't count goaltenders for being on Mount Rushmore, because if we did, I mean, you really could argue bumping off somebody already for Patrick Waugh, or I guess there's an argument for Brodeur as well. But I think that Waugh and Marty have it before Ken. And that's his own Mount Rushmore, is the goaltenders. Well, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you could have a separate goaltender.
Because Waugh, Brodeur, Hasek are on it.
Montreal could have their own Rushmore of goaltenders.
Of everything.
No, but of players and then goaltenders. Because to me, I think there's like four or five franchises that you can, Edmonton, Montreal, Detroit, the Penguins. I think those four have like the best Mount Rushmores. But then that's not including goaltenders. Goaltending Mount Rushmore, it's the Montreal Canadiens the whole
Canadians,
way.
Yeah.
The whole way.
But look at defensemen, too. You start with Harvey and Robinson.
Yeah.
That's their 1-2 for the defensive Mount Rushmore. If you're going to separate players
this is summer programming. I'll move up today. I'll tell you, Rasmus Dahlin is, if you want to compare Bobby Orr to Cale Makar, I will compare, and you know this is high praise from me, Lindstrom to Dahlin.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. I think Dahlin looks incredible. It's only his second, third year? I think he looks ridiculous.
He looks great, but Lindstrom's pretty high caliber.
I'm saying. Yeah. Well, who would ever compare, Cale Makar and Bobby Orr?
Well, that's true, too.
I mean, Dahlin's controlling. He's creaming people. He's controlling games. He just looks like a 20-year vet out there.
And I can't believe I love the new Slug uniform. I think the Slug looks good in blue and yellow. I don't like the white pants. Wear blue pants. The white pants look weird. They look like some rich AAU team growing up. But I, you know, they're a good team.
I think the Pens beat them twice, but they were both good games. Tage Thompson's sick. I was just very impressed. A couple years ago, I was kind of, why would you pick Dahlin first? He's that good. He's very, very, he controls play. He's a little more physical. He's not Nick Lindstrom, but he reminds me of him, though. He controls the play, and he gets in there, and he acts like a veteran. I guess 3 years, but he acts like a veteran.
Olin Power has only played like 80-some games. He's his partner. That's the number one pairing right now in Buffalo. And when you got those two young guys on defense, you know, again, this is what, the ninth year in a row where it's like, hey, does Buffalo turn it around this year? I mean, can they keep in that pace? I mean, maybe not even make the playoffs, but play important games through the end of the season.
It's going to be a dogfight. What happened? Larkin got hurt, huh? Larkin's out?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is he out or just
dinged? I don't know if he's out.
He's not an LTIR yet, so.
Oh, okay. It's going to be a dogfight.
Yeah, it is.
It is going to be a dogfight for that three and four hole.
Yep.
In your division.
Yeah.
It's things are moving because they demoted Elmer. I thought Elmer was going to be up there forever.
They did.
Yeah, just today.
Wow.
I was catching up because last night I lost some of the action last night. But yeah, they demoted Elmer. And I saw, and then Larkin is out. So I'm like, well, I don't know. What I didn't see what happened. So a couple injuries now, bug hitting.
We don't need that.
Don't need that at all.
Yeah, because it is a dogfight.
It really is a dogfight.
Yeah.
Penguins, Zucker. Zucker is going to have to get hurt. He played good for 30 games. It's just a matter of time.
Amazing.
What's the status on Letang?
He's back. He's looking good. You know, he's looking good. And the better thing is, P.O. Joseph, my Pojo, got working. He looks amazing this year. Thank God they didn't get rid of him.
Yeah, but it looks like he'll be the chip they do move when they do make a trade this year at the deadline.
No, I'll tell you. I think he's looked too good. There's no way that little offensive defenseman from New Jersey would play as good as him.
It's not being as good as him. He's their last chip. That's why they didn't want to trade him this summer. And they didn't want to lose him or trade him in a trade. They didn't remember at the beginning of the season they almost traded him.
Yeah,
they're afraid about losing him on the wire
because they couldn't trade him because they needed him
because he's the last chip. There's nothing that any other team wants that's young, that's rebuilding, that the Penguins have, than P.O. Joseph.
To answer your question, though, not to cut you off, to answer your question, Letang is back. He's playing pretty well. Petrie, though, now he broke his arm or something. He's out.
Oh,
remember, I said last or 2 weeks ago, the one thing we hope if Letang comes back, at least let's get a power play quarterback.
Yeah.
Petrie was leading the power play. That's the power play was finally waking up. Then he got hurt, so now they're not going to give it to P.O., although P.O. scored on the power play against Dallas.
So Petrie broke an arm, huh?
But he's also a lefty. They need a righty for that spot.
They just need someone that's going to shoot the puck. And P.O. shot. I mean, that's why the second power play is pretty good, because P.O. is running that. But Penguins, since my birthday or a couple days before, hottest team in hockey.
Yeah, they're
like
playing.
14-1-1 or something. They won like, they, I don't know, they like they're winning. They're like at an 890 percentage. It's great.
Yeah, they're doing good.
Second place, they're doing well. But now they have big games now without Petrie and Zucker. So that's a big, now you get moving and moving again.
Is Petrie playing up till then?
He had his moments of bad penalties, but basically he played very well.
I think he's a good player. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a little snarl, and he clears people from the crease. That's what Rude is doing. We finally got two guys that are going to clear people from the crease, and even Pojo, who weighs like 110 pounds, was moving people around, putting his body into people. He's going to fill out. There's no way they should get rid of that kid from New Jersey.
But no. But if you're the other team, are you going to say we want Ty Smith or we want Pojo? You want our, you know, whatever it is that, you know, you fill it in here, whatever you want to have for the Penguins. Like, it might turn out they need another defenseman going in. It might turn out they really want a third line center if they're able to move Carter in the same deal.
There's only two guys I would take. I would move Pojo for. Only two guys within realm. And Lawson Crouse, who I've loved for many, many years.
Yes, you have.
Now he's wearing the A. And a man who was scratched for the first time since 2014 this weekend. Do you know who that is?
No.
My original man crush on this show, Frage. Go back through the archives. Milan
Lucic. Oh, Lucic, huh? Really?
Was a healthy scratch.
Wow.
Who do you want, Mr. Sutter?
Wow.
We'll give you everybody not going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Or Jake or Jake or Rustin.
What a stretch. Yeah.
Last time he was scratched was when Boston said, take the last day of the season off. We need you for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Calgary's a total mess. It's mostly because Markstrom hasn't,
he's played good the last two games. They're moving up a little bit.
They're moving
they are
up
a mess, though.
But the West is a mess. You don't have to be very good to
look
be
what
in
happened
it.
To the Kings last night.
Yeah, 6-0 loss. The bottom four or five teams in the West that are even in the playoff picture aren't that good. I mean, that's why Vancouver is two or three games out. They've had a miserable season.
And Horvat just released a statement. He's not going to talk about being traded again or anymore.
That was a weird statement. And
what does that mean?
I'll tell you, I love JR. Thank God bless JR. But his legacy is getting thrown in the toilet out there in Vancouver. And I get stats on Barbecue Bruce too. You don't treat a man like Barbecue Bruce the way they're treating him. We talk about it every week, but it's a disgrace.
Yeah, they're the most floundering franchise, directionless right now. At least teams that are bad are bad. The Coyotes, though, are still within striking distance of a playoff spot.
Are they? They're really? Not a bad team.
No, that's what I'm saying. Well, in the concept of the West, they're not bad. In the literally Chicago. And I'm maybe blanking. There's like one team out in the West, in the Chicago. There's like one team that
the
has
Ducks.
No shot.
The Ducks.
Yeah.
The Ducks are in the Bedard sweepstakes all in.
How do you have one regulation win?
Wow.
It's almost Christmas.
Wow.
One regulation win.
That's bad.
That's Washington Generals. That's like the Globetrotters give you a win in Somalia. Just, you know what I mean? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I know that them and the Blackhawks can't say it, but I think those two teams are throwing down to have the best chance at the number one lottery ball. I mean, why wouldn't you? It's going to be a great draft anyway, so if you pick second through six, you're still getting a good player. There's a Russian kid in the draft everybody likes. There's a kid that plays in Michigan, and there's Bedard. And, like, if you're
so
not
it's a good draft.
This year... It's a good year to lose a couple games.
Well, I didn't take it out because we have so much to talk about this week, but I saw The Athletic ran a piece of the five teams, the best upside attendance, and the five teams with the worst upside downside attendance. Chicago Blackhawks have the worst downside attendance of anybody, and they still have Kane and Taves. What's going to happen next year? They don't get Bedard. I don't think losing to lose, I mean, trying to lose, I think is not a good look on any organization.
It's not trying to lose. It's emptying your cupboards and playing the kids, knowing you're not going to win. That's really what it is. Because that's even what Eddie Johnson did for Mario. It wasn't they told.
What Eddie Johnson did was damn near criminal.
But he didn't tell them. But they didn't walk into the locker room and say, "You're going to give up a goal 3 minutes in. You're not going to skate hard." They dressed teams that couldn't win.
No, that's what it is.
And essentially, once Kane is traded from the Blackhawks. Forget any reason, for them to win, any reason to go kind of goes out the window.
So you might as well go for the picks.
That's what I'm saying, though. You got to put a respectable product on the ice in today's day and age.
Well, the Blackhawks always have until recently.
But you're never going to be good again if you don't let yourself go through it. If you want to do the Philadelphia New York Ranger route of never getting a top pick, of never being bad for 3 years, you're never going to win. Like, look at all the cup winners, especially multiple cup winners over the past, few decades. They had to have those 4 or 5
well, now
years
they did.
Where they are picking
they
in
got,
the bottom five.
And they got Lafreniere, and they got Kako.
They did for 2 years or so, but again, the Rangers never really completely rebuilt.
No, they did it perfectly. They did it the lucky way. They got a great goaltender.
Yeah,
it's or and they got the one number one pick and number two pick.
I know they beat the Devils, but I still think they're kind of fake. I don't think that they're. I think they're a little more pretender than contender to me.
And I think the Devils have done a good job of drafting
the devil. they got Hughes and they got Heischer, one and
yeah,
two.
Yeah.
You need to get one and two.
And they have to have them pay off like those two did.
Absolutely. And, but, you know, the funny thing with the Rangers is those guys haven't really been led to excel in the sense, not led to excel, how would I put this? When you have Bregman and Kreider and Zibanejad, you're not going to be number one center or number one winger or number
true.
Two. So you're, you know, the Devils, they're forced to play. Maybe if Lafreniere was given all the ice and in top power
gotcha,
play,
sure.
he would be producing maybe, at yeah, that level. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I think he's coming on. I think Kako's coming on. I think they're weaker. Their bottom six is weaker. You weren't here when they – we didn't talk about the week that he got – but bye, Reeves, bye. And now he's giving interviews in Minnesota. Like, what was that about? You're done.
Did Reeves pick up anywhere?
He's in.
Yeah,
yeah. And Foligno was enforcing the other night, winning fights. It's like, wait, I'm like, Billy Guerin, what are you doing? Getting that clown show.
There was a pretty good conversation between him and Foligno when they fought. One of them was mic'd, and Foligno, I guess, got somebody a little high and was disagreeing with it. And Reeves was like, come on, it was high. And Foligno was like, no, it wasn't. And then Foligno saw the replay. He's like, yeah, you're right, it was high. And then he realized he had to fight him. It was one of those great NHL moments of Foligno going, okay, yeah, we got to fight, I guess. I did clip him high.
Yeah, enough. But the Rangers are going to be there.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
You know.
They're
loaded.
When you look, though, at just the standings right now, for any team in the East to climb, it's just going to be tough. I mean, at Carolina and Pittsburgh – are going to pile points. Pittsburgh's kind of a surprise, you know. Not that they're good at all, but that they're this good. Carolina is just going to win games 1-0, 2-1, 3-1. They're going to pile points regular season. The Islanders and the Devils aren't showing signs of playing any worse. So I just think that the Rangers have to solve all these depth problems, and Shesterkin's got to be at least the second best goalie in the New York metro area. He can't be third.
They have some chips. So, you know, if they really want to move Kako, they really want to move their number one. You know, they get chips to play. I think there's no way the Rangers are remotely done or out of it. Here's a piece though from Chicago I think is very interesting. You know who just came out to play for him is Tyler Johnson, Mr. Two Rings. That's a very nice consolation prize if you don't get Bo Horvat.
Where do you think?
You know, for Colorado. I mean, yeah. He's not Bo Horvat, but you don't have to give up the ranch for Tyler Johnson to play second line center.
Where do you think Bo Horvat lands?
Well, that Joe just said it. I think that the biggest team that needs a second center is Colorado.
But no one's backing Joe Sakic into a corner, and he's not going to get
Byram.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. They're not. I mean, I think Tyler Johnson is a perfect poor man. Because let's face it, Bo Horvat's what I say there. He hasn't beaten anybody. Tyler Johnson has been a big player twice.
How do you think Horvat would fit in Colorado?
He's a good player, but they certainly don't need him to be a superstar.
He's top 15 right now or something like that in points. Like, he's having a great
year. Yeah, he's having a good year.
Playing some of the best hockey of his career.
Right, but when they get everybody back. I mean, they just got Nikushin back. You know, they're going to get Mac. I mean, look at MacKinnon. I mean, not MacKinnon, not Rantanen. Scored all three against the Blues. How many we need? Score another one. You know, got a hat trick. He got these, tied it with 10 seconds
and
left.
He's missed a handful of games, and he's again in the top 10 in scoring.
Oh, Rantanen is underrated. One of those guys, because he's with MacKinnon. And
Rantanen is good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. They don't really, and Nikushkin's back.
You need at least a second guy taking faceoffs. That you trust late in the third, own zone faceoff. You need a guy you trust.
I think Tyler Johnson, though, is a nice.
It is, for sure.
It's a nice, like, you're not going to, hey, I'm not giving you a number. I'm not giving you Byram and a number one pick for Bo Horvat when I can give you someone, I can give Chicago two second rounders for Tyler Johnson.
And
Gerard is out.
He's got two rings.
And to be honest with you, it's hard to think of another team where Bo fits in because most teams right now have a 1-2 center, especially if they're a playoff-bound team. There aren't many playoff-bound teams right now that aren't already kind of set down the center. I'm not saying that Bo wouldn't make them better, but you'd then have to trade your guy that's your number two.
In other words, it makes sense, the Washington Capitals. If Backstrom never comes back.
Is Backy coming back, though?
50-50. Willie just took a twirl at the practice, so that's huge. But you know, you hear the Leonis, what's his name? He said he said we're not rebuilding no matter what because we want to make sure that Ovi has the best team he can to win the cup. To break the record. And that's what we've been saying for 2 years, how like they're going to keep that band together no matter what, just so he can make sure he gets the record.
And I like
at least Kuzi or Backstrom at least have one big center. That's why I think Oshie is a piece maybe if they fall out of it.
Yeah, well, I think that they're gonna stay in it enough that I don't know that trading Oshie is something that the fan base will think makes sense. Because I think that
trading Oshie would never make sense. It's like trading DeBrincat would never make sense.
But especially if you're...
But they did it.
But what if they're 4 points out of the deadline and they trade Oshie for future considerations, picks, and prospects? I just don't think you can do that.
No,
although it would be best for the organization to win another cup. It wouldn't be best for Ovi to get to his, maybe to get to beat Wayne.
Well, I don't think he needs maybe power play. No, because he's not setting them up on the power. He needs centers to beat Wayne. He doesn't need Oshie to beat Wayne. He needs Oshie to win a cup.
Where do you think Oshie would go?
Anywhere.
Anyone would want him.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If they fall out of the – if they really fall back, I think
then
only
Kuzi
and Backstrom I'm just saying of the pieces that could – you never know what could – I mean, Washington's the last team to make a real legitimate hockey trade when they traded – and I heard Mantha, they're not happy with him either.
Who went over there?
Obviously Detroit.
Who did go?
I can't think. All I can think of is that Prawn played his 1,000th game with them too.
The little guy who got injured.
Verona. Yeah.
Well, that's why we need Andy, because that's taking me 5 minutes as opposed to 10 seconds. Right? I mean, that was the last real hockey trade.
Yeah, yeah. And that hasn't really worked out.
Remember, we all...
Well, it hasn't worked out for Washington. I think Verona is just...
Verona's been good.
He's just having some issues right now, but he'll be back.
We were blown away with that trade. Remember when that happened?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were already looking good. They were playing well. And then they brought in Mantha, and it was like, wow,
you talk about a big dog that didn't learn how to bite. I mean...
That's basically what happened. He had a lot of potential.
Oh, my God, yeah.
When we first saw him,
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was loving him when he was a Red Wing.
And I was
scared when he went. I'm like, oh, my God, him and Tommy on the same team.
It looked
team
like it was going to be...
There were 2 years when he was top 10 power forward in the league.
Oh, absolutely.
There was 2 years in Detroit where he was top 10.
I wonder what happened. I don't know.
I think it's the old Bill Parcells, right? If they don't learn to bite when they're puppies, they're never going to learn to bite.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see. I want to say one thing, because I listen to all my hockey coverage other than the Penguins is from Canada, so I get inundated with too much Canadian news. But I'll take a page from your book. You know how you always say that hockey always gets like third-rate musical acts for other events? They never get like...
They've been getting better, but yes. Yeah, right? I do say that, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds is not a superstar, please. How is Ryan Reynolds joining the Ottawa Senators? Like, you're not getting... Clint Eastwood or Burt Reynolds or John Wayne Ryan Reynolds is going to change. Like, oh my God, is he Brad Pitt? Who the hell is, Ryan Reynolds? Come on.
Well, this was the same.
They make the biggest, he could walk in here and I wouldn't know. I thought he'd be like George Lopez's guest. I don't know, who are you? I'm Ryan Reynolds. Like, I don't know who the hell he is. Like,
well, he's certainly not. He's not.
I mean,
well,
yeah, they make it like they're getting Mick Jagger to buy in.
Well, that's, yeah. Yeah.
He's not more famous than George Lopez, but that's a pretty high bar.
He isn't. That's what it'd be more impressive if George Lopez
bought in. George would be impressive.
Well, for sure it would.
If Bill bought in, if all these comedy bought in, it'd be a bigger deal.
Well, yeah. But they're the top. I think I'm going to defend Ryan Reynolds just for a second. I mean, he is the lead in Deadpool. Oh, look, I'm not a Marvel movie or a comic book movie guy. They're just dudes in green suits dancing around in green rooms. I can't stand them.
He was good in Deadpool, though.
He is one of the main guys in that universe. He's married to another famous person whose name I don't know. In the Hollywood world, the world that the NHL is obsessed with, He is more plugged in than I think we're giving him credit for a little
okay.
bit.
Okay. I apologize, Mr. Reynolds. I mean, but I wouldn't know.
He's a pretty big earner. He's like one of the biggest earners right this second. Like, you know what I mean?
He's not like Brad Pitt, John Travolta, no. Bruce Willis. Like, you know.
But when
like,
it's a buy-in, what do you mean?
All the leadership groups are like, oh, is Ryan Reynolds attached? Because he said on like Conan or not
he
Conan.
Well, he tweeted it at first.
That he wants to be part of the ownership. So now like everyone wants him on it. It's like. I don't know. It's not like you're getting like Bieber. If he tried to buy into the Maple Leafs,
well, yeah.
It would be a big. It would be like oh, yeah, I, well, yeah. It's I mean it's like it's Ryan. I mean I don't know. They're just making it like the biggest deal. It's like he's not that important.
Bieber said he liked the Sharks' new jerseys, and they started flying off the shelves at the NHL shop.
Bieber should worry about his own jersey because it's terrible. Although I loved him as a fan, he sat with the crowd. That was way
yeah,
cool.
That's no,
cool.
He's a for real Maple Leafs
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, cool.
Like
yeah,
he watched, yeah, yeah. And he watches random games around the league because you'll see him commenting on Twitter about just random games. Like he's a hockey guy.
Right.
Yeah,
but that's what I mean. Though, if Bieber won it, I'd be like, well, Bieber won. I don't know. Right,
he's
right.
A hockey guy. Too, I mean,
yeah. It's like, please NHL, don't look so thirsty. For Ryan Reynolds, let's George Clooney wants to buy. Okay,
yeah.
Ryan Reynolds, like let's you know.
Yeah, but George Clooney doesn't answer Bettman's calls.
He doesn't have to.
That's what I'm saying. and Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston, they ain't hanging out with Bettman. Like that's an echelon that even Bettman can't quite.
Yeah,
you break into. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Schwartz. Like if Rocky wanted to buy into the right. You know, what I mean? I know I'm an old man, but I don't know these kids today. I don't know.
I see George Lopez buying in on the Coyotes.
Yeah, the Desert Dogs.
Yeah.
You know, it's stupid. In a way, I don't like there's a the lacrosse team in Vegas is now going to be called the Desert Dogs.
Oh, come on!
It's like you can't take that.
No,
come on!
No.
Now they stole everything else from every other team.
Yeah, come on!
They stole the name from the Army Navy, the Scarlet Knight. You know,
the Knights, Golden
yeah.
Knights.
I want to give a shout out to Randy Hahn called game number 2000. As someone who lived in the Bay Area for a long, long time, great hockey play-by-play announcer. Got some shots nationally doing the late games. He's very good, and he's had to work with some less than stellar partners. I will just say that. And he always comes out shining.
And that's a lot of games.
I love the way he calls the game too. He's a good homer. He's not ridiculous. He's good. 2,000 games is a lot of games.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of games.
Yep.
So shout out to him and Gary Bettman, year number 30.
Is it really? Wow.
Just hit year number 30.
I wouldn't guess that.
Yeah, and he has his detractors, but as a Penguin fan, you know, he said that him and Mario broke the deal.
If you're not Canadian and you say he's a bad commissioner, you're just lying. I'll take it from Canadians because he really has made a point of getting away from Canadian hockey and taking teams from them.
and then
begrudgingly getting them back. And so I can get why Canadian fans boo him. But if you're in Pittsburgh, especially. Or Minnesota, or any of these places in America where he's made hockey 10 times, 10's wrong, probably 50 times more profitable than it was when he came in. I mean, this league makes so much more money. The Rangers went from being worth like $150 million to $1 billion in his tenure. So it's like, for people to say he's a bad commissioner, you're just objectively wrong. It's like saying Brodeur was a bad goalie. You could not like him. You can be a Ranger fan. And say I don't like him, but to say he's a bad commissioner is just one of the worst takes to me in hockey.
I think that's right.
Here's who consider him a bad commissioner: the four teams that could spend $150 million. Every other franchise thinks he's a good commissioner because he put in a salary cap.
Yeah, and then that's
if you're Toronto and the Rangers and Detroit under Ilitch. Oh, he's a terrible because you could buy an all-star team.
Yeah,
but everybody else who wants to compete, he's a great.
But even those guys, when they look at their balance sheets and they see what's happened
yeah, the
since
money's
he's
there.
Come in,
yeah.
He has been an earner, and he's made this league more prominent. And people gave him a hard time 20 years ago for a deal that didn't go through with ESPN and ended up on OWN. But now this new deal is going to keep the league afloat. And, and again, Ovechkin and Crosby had a lot to do with it. But it's going to keep the league going,
I think the NHL is looking pretty solid.
As solid as the late 90s.
Yeah.
I mean... The strongest it ever was, and you can ask Keith Oberman because he was the number one guy in SportsCenter, was hockey used to lead SportsCenter more than basketball in the mid-90s.
That's when it was peaking.
When it peaked, but then they blew it when they had their little strike after the Rangers.
They
couldn't have been any bigger. Messier on Broadway, Lemieux was still playing, Gretzky was still playing, Jagr was playing, Lindros was in Philly, Yzerman, that was the time. and then the NBA took a little bit of a dump, and then it didn't happen. It didn't happen. But I don't care, which I've said on this show for 10 years, I don't care if less people like hockey. I love it. The more it gets Americanized, the more crap music I hear in the arena, the more I just want to hear, you know, the Trooper at intermission.
Well, I think
I need to hear the house music. You know what I mean? Like, I like it, you know, whatever.
I think the quality of play is really good.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
overall,
I could use a little bit more violence, but it's definitely, they've definitely ruined football in the violence aspect way more than hockey. There's still way more violence in hockey per what you want than football.
Yeah. The violence is way back up. I mean, fighting has climbed the past 3 years. It's not uncommon to see two fights a game, even three nowadays, when, out of the lockout, not only was that uncommon, that would have been considered a bench clearing to see three fights in one game.
Well, I don't really need fighting. I don't want it banned. I don't need fighting. I want Scott Stevens hits.
Those have been banned. Yeah. Those actually did get banned.
Some have come back, though, in their own little way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want more
of. Yeah, right.
And more of like, you got to be, you need 2 10-pound balls to stand in front of the net and not like everyone's there, you know?
I want more...
Look, like that, you know. I don't need more goonery. I don't need 30 Ryan Reeves cutting NWA promos. I want Scott. Yes, he shouldn't have had his head down at the blue line.
Yeah, keep your
head
up.
That's your fault. Yeah. Like that's the hockey.
But I think the skill set level is really high.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And the thing is, nowadays the kids today have always had the stop signs on the back. The full face shields, the no one gets hit, no one. That's why they're so good.
Yeah,
they've never known. We're like, hey, I can't do this. If I try this move, they're gonna be a bench clearing brawl in junior.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. That's really true.
No, it is true. I think that the creativity coming into the game, what's his name on the Ducks versus Torts mentality. Why am I blanking on the Zegras? Players are more creative now because you can come around the net with your head down and
not get
Saku Koivu'd by Colby Armstrong. You know what I mean? Like the Chris Neal blindside hits. The hits that were there even, you know, not that long ago aren't as far as keeping your head down in certain areas.
And it frees you up for creativity.
Those have been up this year, though. There's been a few more big time someone's not
there has
attention.
Been yeah but
which at, I enjoy to at, me that's hockey
as well, the, hockey, as the yeah. hitty though you're really risking because if you miss by a little bit it could be 10 games, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's why we see less of them,
right?
So it's not that the defensemen don't have the ability to throw these hits, they're thinking, ooh, if I get him high this is going to be really bad.
But
didn't used to think that at all.
When you see McDavid on the fly, you got to go, okay, that's talent that's never really been there before.
No, and
he's already on my Rushmore, actually, if you think about it.
Well.
I mean, who's had that kind of talent, just pure talent?
Yeah, you know, he's made me, like, just right now, a loss for words. The last 2 years, he's really went up in my eyes a lot. Like, the last 2 years, I think he's really poured it on. I think he's going to the tough areas a little bit more, and he's just doing way more. He's doing everything. I mean, it really is ridiculous. It's like you're playing PlayStation and someone hits the old Sega, you hit the turbo button. Like, he's gone. Yeah. That's why I said the only guy I've ever seen, it was Jack Johnson. We talked 2 weeks ago or last week. He blew around Jack Johnson like Jack Johnson was a cone. And I was saying, I'm not picking on Jack. The only person I've ever seen catch him was Makar.
Oh, and in the playoffs.
Turn and catch him. Yep. No one else can.
No one can.
And him and Leon, it's a whole nother level. It really is a whole nother level.
No, and the thing is that he has that, and he also has that vision thing where I don't think that we'd seen vision like that since Wayne. And I'm not trying to diss Sid, because Sid has an incredible vision to his game too, but the backhand passes that just end up – on Zach Hyman's stick with yawning Nets.
I think we've seen Sid, we've seen Mario, we've seen Ronnie Francis, we've seen Trotch. We've seen a lot of great passers.
Joey Thornton.
The Witch.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen someone do everything as fast as McDavid.
That's what it is. That's the difference.
It's just fast.
Yeah.
It seems like Ronnie Francis 3 times speed.
Yeah.
You know, just everything is just faster.
That's why sometimes I feel bad for Hyman, because Hyman gets the puck with playing with those two in moments where he doesn't even realize he could have got the puck. Like, Hyman could have more goals, but they're so superhuman, they get him the puck back in times where he's cuffed, because he never would have thought that the puck's coming back to him.
Yeah. And Leon is ridiculous, too.
He's amazing. They have them both on the same team.
I listened to an interview with Todd McClelland recently, and he was saying how that year that they won, they beat the Kings and then lost to the Ducks. He was like, yeah, that was Leon's. That's when I first fell in love with Leon, was that series. He goes, yeah, we didn't know how to handle when it got really tough, when the Ducks beat him. Yeah. And that's when I thought the Ducks were gonna beat the Penguins.
Well, those two lead the league in points.
Getting Nashville, 1-2. Thank God.
Yeah.
I tell you one thing. We always pound our sticks for Getzlaf. Man, the Ducks really need Getzlaf. Not that he would give them more regulation wins, but maybe go into the locker room and be like, hey, fellas, this is unacceptable.
Yeah, he would have been saying that, yeah.
And he also would have got his 20 goals, which can result in a couple more regulation wins. Yeah, I think that the Ducks, man, what a shame, John Gibson. I feel his career just kind of got Carey priced.
Does he wind up staying there?
I think he's almost like damaged goods
a little bit. Yeah, he's not that tradable anymore. Like, he's not – there was a point in time where he was definitely one of the best goalies. Now is he in the top half? He's like right there at the halfway point.
Speaking of – it's funny because I got my notes. I'm reading them. The Kings goaltender was 2-0, and I'm like, it might be the heir apparent. And Toronto just sunburned him with the red light last night.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, man. But, I don't know. Here's an interesting stat before we get to the awards. Johnny T, according to the Statmaster, most puck battles won this season.
Really? Wow.
So you wonder why Toronto's playing so
he's having a good year.
What a comeback in Willie Nylander. The Big Four are playing. This is the best Toronto has ever looked.
They are looking good.
And, and Sandin and Liljegren are playing pretty good. They need one more. They should go after Luch. They need one guy.
There you go. Yeah.
Everybody needs Luch, but they just need, or Lawson, they need one guy. How about Zach Aston Reese actually hit someone and knocked them down? Oh my God.
But Toronto's guys are rolling, and Johnny T is playing, having a great year.
And Mr. Murray, I love it.
Yeah.
And even Samsonov is playing great.
Murray and Samsonov are both in the top 15 for save percentage and goals against.
Murray's looking good.
Cal Dubas, GM of the year, until they get it's so funny. It's sad because I know what it's like as being a Penguin fan. How you just know no matter what it looms, you're playing the Capitals.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
They're playing Tampa, like in the first round. No matter how great all this is, it's still going to come down.
Can end quickly.
It's still going to come down to Vasilevsky, Hedman. Stammer and the boys.
I wish.
It's like, it's just like, how you beat those guys?
Hard to beat them.
Hard to beat those guys.
I wish I had wrote it down, but the one thing I wanted to bring up was I was watching the Stars game the other night, and they had mentioned how important drafting was. Hence, Robertson, Ottinger, and Heskinen, same draft.
Wow. Wow.
That's their entire core.
What? Man. That is Swan, Stallworth, Lambert, and Mike Webster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget what year it was. I think it was about 4 years ago. And they were just talking about how one draft can just make a team completely change everything. Yeah. And well, if you think about them without those guys, that's
their
team.
Core. Yeah.
That's the team.
Oh. And they're having a good year.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The Penguins-Stars game, one of the best games I've seen all year from both. That was a playoff game. It didn't have the complete violence of a playoff game, but it was tight checking and then Machino at the end. All right, here we go. Some awards. The Linda Cohn Award for the goal that she could have stopped. Miro Heskinen, speaking of which, against Ottawa. on Friday night, I was too blown away by the thought that Ryan Reynolds might have been watching that I didn't catch the goaltender. But yeah, I was just like, oh my God. I didn't get a Shandy or Stevens. The Howie. How about, speaking of Ottawa, Shabbat hitting, what's his name, in the head on the bench. He was pissed. He swung his stick in anger and he hit Trouba. The other guy from Winnipeg, who used to be on Winnipeg.
I saw the replay, but I didn't see who it was. I felt bad for him, everybody involved, because you could tell he thought that the partition was the next thing there. Yeah. He didn't think his teammate's head was the next thing he was going to hit.
Oh, man.
That was rough.
Last week, my printer, I couldn't read. This week, I typed, I think, a bunch of stuff in like 3 days ago. I must not hit save then, because this is like this missing. I found I'll think of it. The big guy, he used to be on the Islanders forever. And then I'll think of it. Anyway.
Now.
And then we have Flower.
Borkowski or whatever.
No, I'll think of it. Dirtbags, we got Konechny on Ovi after the empty netter. Shut up.
Yeah, come on.
Come on. You're a loser. You're a loser.
Come on, man.
Coming up in Ovi's face. Engvall on Durzi. Woo. That was not a good look, Engvall.
No.
On Durzi. Poor Durzi.
How was that only one game?
I don't know. A Skinner. Where did Mr. Icecapade get the nuts to hit Jake in the face?
There's my point. Wasn't that three games? And
three
there
was games.
Another three game or two.
The big O. Yeah. Jamie Oleksiak with the people's elbow. Let me tell you something. The Rhodes.
That was maybe the worst.
What do you think about that one?
That was not a good one.
That might have been the worst. But how did Engvall only get one and the other two got three? Engvall took a baseball swing. Not even a baseball swing. A beheading type swing at a dude's face. I mean, yeah, he got helmet and he didn't, you know, he didn't brashear him. He almost did, though.
Wow.
We could summer program my hour and I think that brashear thing was a little out of bounds. But I thought that that was way worse than what Skinner did.
So did I. And a two-game difference. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't get that one either. The Paul Curry, the other dirtbag is the fans in Edmonton bringing their Ukrainian flags, getting in Ovi's face.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
You think Ovi started a war?
Can we just, enough.
Like, please, keep it out of hockey. They're literally waving the flag at Ovi. It's like,
at Ovi, yeah.
Come on. Enough. And then we have the Paul Kariya Award goes to Pasta against the Avs. Pasta got lit up, came back, scored a big goal.
All right.
The Mario, two of them. One, Ovi, hat trick on goal number 800.
Got to give
that's
him.
That's a Mario move.
Got to give it to him.
The other one, the grand old man, owner of the team. Who else? Jaromir Jagr, age 50, comes back, gets two primary assists. His first, his team.
What are you, Gordie Howe?
Come on. His team was hit by COVID or something. Comes out of the owner's box, gets two assists.
I love it.
I mean, only Yags. Claude Lemieux, we got Hall versus the Avs in that game. Skirt Nurse on Erickson Ek. Yeah, I had a Broussard that's got lost to the ages. The Dio, we have Tage Thompson with five against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Wow, he is good, man.
We talked about this last week. Columbus is awful.
Yeah, and with injuries,
and even they're better than the Ducks. But I mean, they're watching them is awful.
They're
terrible.
No, I mean, they are the only, you know, them and Philly in the Metro are just, you know, right now. I think again should enter the Bedard sweepstakes with trade away whatever's good that's left for assets. Why are you trying?
And this is one that I know I typed in, but somehow it wasn't saved, is I talked about earlier, is Mikko Rantanen, the hat trick, including the overtime winner against the Bluesers on Sunday. That was huge.
That's big.
Every time the Bluesers get going, they lose four. They cannot keep themselves playing good hockey. And with Binnington, which I'm sure you guys probably talked about him last week, and Berube calling
him
out.
Not that much, actually.
He's got to chill out. And when your coach tells you to chill out, and then the next press conference you call out the skaters, You call out the team for not playing consistently.
That never works.
That is a house fire right now, and I do not think the Chief is going to take well to that.
Well,
he's going to kick his ass. He might not even trade him. He's going to just punch him.
That does not work well.
I'll say, like, you can be called out by Dave Haxtell, and you can ignore him. You can be called out by Dallas Eakins, you can ignore him. You can't be called out by Craig Berube and ignore him.
Yeah, that's right.
He said what you always say. Just, you're the goalie, stop the puck. Stop with everything else.
Oh, he was,
I agree on that.
The Chief, and, you know, he's not going anywhere. They're not firing the Chief.
No, I'd get rid of Bennington before I get rid of Berube.
I would, too. I would have kept Uso, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, that's
a
whole,
I'm glad we got him.
Oh, incredible.
And you called it, too.
Thank you, but I'll tell you what, man, every time I watch and they're getting lit up, it's Nedeljkovic.
I know. It is.
He's like the Casey DeSmith of the it's like every time.
Keep Uso in there.
Oh, my God. It's like, oh, Detroit's won two in a row, and then I start watching the game, and like, oh, that's a terrible goal, and you see the name.
We were hoping for better. The only time Stevie got, we all got, because remember, he didn't play one bad game for Carolina. Everyone was like, this kid's one of the best young goalies in the league.
Yeah, that's true.
Why would they trade him? And he hasn't been very good since.
No, that's exactly right, Andy. I was excited to get him.
I was happy for him.
Everyone thought it was stupid that Carolina would trade him.
Yeah,
everyone
that's right.
Made no sense.
I wonder what happened there, because you're right.
It's one of those things, once a guy loses his way a little bit, and then saves Halibek the glove, Igor the pad on Taves. That was a sick save. Markstrom the stack on the stack pad on Line A, and then he stacked him, and then the next one he did a standing kick out. There was a great whatever. I lost it to the computer gods. No worries. The Goonies though, Hunt crushed Pasta, and then fought Nosik. That was the Avs game where Pasta got the Korea. Goudreau crushed Thompson. Goudreau then fought Kolesar. Waugh ran Robertson. Czar hit Kaliev and then fought Lazat. So nice pick on the middleweight Czar, but at least he knocked somebody down. Cousins versus Hronik. Hronik, a nice fight there.
Yeah.
Hronik's doing everything in Detroit.
Yes.
Mata, though, on the shelf right now. Romanov crushing Miles Wood, your buddy.
Love
against
Romanov.
My buddy.
Yeah, you like
yeah. Yeah. The Wood's not going anywhere.
He's good.
And then we have Pezzetta. Just, you see that right hand on Mackey last night or two nights ago, just dropped him like a sack of flour.
Oh, really? Oh yeah, I didn't see.
Yeah, because that was in the Lewis just crushed Caulfield. That was and then Kiki Randa on Tanger. Good to see Tanger walk away from that. Was kind of a cheap shot. I got tons and tons of stats and so much good. Okay, here's empty netters. Wayne, 56. Ovi, 52. Hossa, 40. Even strength goals. Ovi, 500. Yags, 538. Howe, 566. Wayne, 617. First of the game of active. Pasta, 59. Ovi, 56. Rat, 55 or 85. I missed
it. How does Pasta have more?
Right now, first, I don't know. Maybe these are messed up. I'm having a, okay. Here's an interesting stat, though, because Marner's still keeping his stats ahead, right?
Yeah.
Still, he's like 24 straight games.
Yeah.
Kirill leads the Wild. How about that? His, in streaks, it was 7 goals, 13 points, and 9 assists. That's how weak offensively the Wild have been in their 25 years.
Yeah, that's
that's it.
You would have thought
those
Gabbert
aren't huge
had
numbers.
A better stretch, right?
Yeah. Fastest to 600 points, modern players. How long it took? Jesus, only 421. Sid 430, Ovi 464, Gino 490, Breadman 536. Here's some Sid stuff, right? He's on pace for 50 goals and 111 points at age 35.
Wow.
Last person to have those kind of stats was Mr. Howe, had 78 even strength.
I was going to say it was probably Gordy, yeah.
Sid's on strength for 91.
Wow.
Here you go. Jake the Snake, his number one draft class. Number one goals in his draft class. He is 174. Monahan, 142. McKinnon, 132. Oh, Monahan, 142. McKinnon, 132. Barkov, 130. Barakowski, 118.
That's surprising.
I never thought you'd have more than McKinnon, right?
Yeah.
3-point games. Yari Curry, 164. Sid, 165. Paul Coffey, 169. Stevie Y, 172. Tied at 183. Espo Mess, 195. Yager. Michelle Dion, 202. Mario, 272. Guess Wayne.
400.
459.
Wow.
Wow.
He's not coming out off Mount Rushmore.
No, he's not. Of course.
Here's my final one, then we'll go. All right. 700 games. 700 games, coach, right? 700 games. Here you go. Tippett, 384 wins. Sully, 384. Toe Blake, 385. Todd McClellan, 386. Babcock, 401. Sather, 403. Bowman, 408. Bruce, 418.
Wow.
Cooper, 426. So, enough of picking on Brucey.
Yeah, come on. That's pretty impressive.
I never thought Bruce would be higher than Toe Blake in anything but a wings eating contest. All right, where am I? Oh, I'm in North Carolina. Steeler pep rally, Saturday night.
Oh, sweet.
That's it.
Yeah. I will be at the world famous Laugh Factory on Saturday night.
I'll just be down Redondo Beach tonight.
Oh, cool.
That's right. And I'm doing a thing in up by Magic Mountain. It's a charity event. Me and Augie Smith next Tuesday.
Sweet. All right, guys. Well, good show, guys.
That was fun. Thanks for coming back. Andy's back.
Andy is back. That's always great. And I want to thank Aaron, our fantastic producer, Joe Bartnick. I am Fraser Smith. We are Puck Off. We thank you for joining us. Have a happy holiday season. Is that Cream? Oh, yeah. There you go.
Makes me think of Goodfellas.
Yeah. Love this band, too. Ginger Baker on drums. Thanks for joining us. We are Puck Off. We are out.
It's getting near dark.